thank God for each one of our friends being here that we've been friends with for years, and just we talk often on the phone and back and forth. I thank you being here. This young man that got saved, thank you for you bringing your mother here tonight. God bless you. And I hope that anybody's here that if you don't understand why people sing and why they shout and why they cry and all that stuff, maybe you've not been to the place that some of these people's been. You see what I'm saying? Maybe you've not been where they have been in their life, because they know that if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God tonight, they could be in hell or in the prison or somewhere like that. But God found them and redeemed them and brought them out of there and put their homes back together and give them their children. And now they got something to shout and to praise Him for. So I mean, boy, whenever I see them rejoicing, I just join in with them. Amen. Amen. I told them the other night in a meeting there, I said, I like to go to church and get drunk. And I said, I like it when my sipping buddies show up. We all take a drink. We all take a drink and we all get drunk again. Amen. Is that right? You see, when God put the Holy Spirit down in this jug here, is that right? And then He gets to moving in the service, and I get to thinking about them old sins, I just get drunk all over again. Amen. Thinking where I could have been if it not been for the grace of God. And tonight, I'm here in the church instead of sitting on a bar stool out there somewhere. Could be in a grave tonight or in a devil's hell. But God had mercy on me just like He did you, and led us to get down here to the house of God. You see, if you've ever been in the pit, if you've ever been in the pit, you don't forget those days. Is that right? Yes, sir. I told Brother Wayne the other day in the store there that I do a lot of pottery, do a lot of clay and stuff like this. I got my own pottery thing at the house. It might have been Brother Wayne. I don't know. I talk to so many preachers. But anyway, I was talking about that I got the pottery and how I got to make the pottery just like they do over in Seagrove. And here some time back, I run out of clay to go in my pottery because I'm still learning how to do it. And so 28 miles from my house over in Lebanon, Tennessee, they got a clay pit. And so I called the man and I asked him, could I come over there and get some clay from him? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll meet you. He told me what time to get there. And I got there. And so we got to this gigantic hole, had a little gate around it. And he dropped a ladder down inside there. And I said, did he give me a bucket so I could get it? He could weigh how much clay that I got to be able to get in there. And I said, well, ain't you going to go down in there with me to show me what to do? He said, don't worry about it. When you get down in there, you'll know what to do. He said, there's no way I can go down in there with you. He said, the only way that you can get out of the pit is somebody's got to be on the top side to get you out. Is that right? And that's the way it is with us old sinners. We was down in the pit. David said that he was in a pit, and God lifted him up and put him on solid ground. Is that right? And put a new song in his heart that he might be able to sing praises unto his God. Is that right? Now, I don't know what your condition is here tonight, but there's five people. I'm going to get on five people here in a little bit that is in every church service that I've ever been to in my life. There's five kinds of people, and every time you preach a message, five different kinds in every church service. And I don't know what's going on in your life, that it might be bad, whatever's going on. But I got news for you, my friend. Whatever's going on in your life, it can always be worse. Is that right? It can always be worse. My dear sister here, sitting here tonight, I don't want to embarrass her, but she just went through cancer, serious operations and stuff like this. And tonight she's in the house of God, praise the Lord. You see what Brother John is trying to say? It can always be worse. Let me read you a thing that you think it can't be worse. I got this letter here from a dad. His boy had wrote him. And the dad wrote this letter. Son, if I got that thing on. I do, okay. And this boy had wrote this letter to his daddy. The daddy had been waiting for the boy to come in from school, and he kept going back to his room, and the boy was about an hour and a half late. And the daddy was getting all upset, wondering where his boy was at. And he kept waiting and waiting and said, my Lord, it's gone almost 2 hours, and I've not found my boy yet. Where's my son? And he walked. He had already been in his bedroom. But he noticed on the pillow was a letter leaning against the pillow. And on the front of the envelope, it was addressed to Dear Daddy. So he gets the envelope, he gets the letter, and here's what it says. Dear Dad, It is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mama. I've been having real passion with Joan, and she is, Daddy, she's so nice. Even with all of her piercing and her body tattoos, I know that you don't like that, Daddy. So it's not only her passion, Dad, that Joan, but Joan is also pregnant. Joan said that we would be very happy together. And I know that you do not care for her as much because she's so much older than I am. But Dad, she already owns a trailer out in the woods. She has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. And she wants to have many more children with me. Now, that's one of my dreams also, Dad. Joan has taught me that marijuana does not really hurt anybody. And she's going to be growing it for us. We're going to be trading marijuana with all of her friends for all the cocaine and ecstasy that we want. In the meantime, Daddy, we're praying that scientists will find a cure for the sexually transmitted diseases that Joan has so she can get better. She sure deserves it, Dad. She's a good girl. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 16 years old now, and I can take care of myself. Someday, me and Joan will be back to visit you and Mama so you can get to know your grandchildren. Signed, your son, John. And then down at the bottom it says, P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at the neighbor's house. I just want you to know that my report card's on the dresser, so things could be worse. So see, regardless of how it looks sometimes, it can always be worse. Is that right? Amen. I want you to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. And we're going to try to skip on through here real fast. The Bible said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 41. Talk about Mary and Joseph, verse 41. It said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the, what?
Passover.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. That was the Passover feast. And when they had fulfilled the days of the return, and as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not, supposing him to have been in the company, were a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks. A lot of times folks try to find Jesus among your kinfolks, and you can't do it. And Catholics just try to find Jesus among their kinfolks and their acquaintances, and when they found him not, they turned again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, watch this real close, that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and learning. Verse 49, real quick, we'll skip on down. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?